Welcome to the show. It's another episode of Citizen Kane. It is November 13th, 2016, and we are streaming live on YouTube, coming to you from Chili, Keene, New Hampshire. We stream live every Sunday, by the way, between 8 and 9 p.m. If you'd like to join us during the program, the links to that video can be found on the webpage, citizenkane.org, as well as the Facebook page. Oh, where was I? Call us with your thoughts. Tell us what's on your mind. If you'd like to add to the conversation any of the articles that we're going to be covering this evening, or maybe something we've talked about in the past, the number to call is 267-521-2771. Or, of course, you can Skype us. Citizen Kane is the handle. If you'd like to contact me directly, the email is show@citizenkane.org. My name is Conan Soliday, and as usual, the lovely Shauna Nash joins me.
Hello.
Hopefully, I've got it warm enough down here in the basement dungeon where we've been putting the show on for the 12th episode, I believe. Is it a little better this evening?
Yes, and even if it were freezing cold, the magic of Christmas coming in November is keeping me warm.
In November?
Yeah, November Christmas.
Is that Black Friday Christmas? The true Christmas? The true spirit of Christmas?
No, it's Christmas in November.
Well, I'm actually
Wednesday morning.
I'm actually looking forward to it because this is turning into Q4. In fact, I don't know when it starts.
But fourth quarter?
Yeah, probably already started, but it really starts to pick up.
It's the start of October.
It really starts to pick up in the next couple of weeks, and I'm hoping that a lot of inventory that's out there, my inventory, starts to do what it did last year. It starts to sell. Music to my ears, music to my heart. And I really need to start adding more to that, too. Stop messing around with this show.
Does the show know what you're even talking about? He's not selling drugs, people.
No, I'm selling books. And
selling
stuff.
Books, which are drugs for your mind.
I'm a booker.
It's kind of different.
Because I had to do books because...
Yeah, math was never my strong suit.
I can't do math. So, like I said, we're coming to you from Chili, Keene, New Hampshire. We do a lot of reporting on the activities that go on in the city as well as the state. Not a whole lot went down this week at the city level.
Thankfully.
I still had to watch the videos, and you know, they're boring as sin, but they know that's what it's all about.
But there was no kinetic action.
There was
committed.
No real serious issues. There were a lot of reports, a lot of department reports, and there was one thing on solar, and I didn't even watch it. I ran out of time. That probably would have been interesting.
Well, we can get to it later.
We'll get to it later.
Next episode.
Did see one article in the Sentinel this week, something that speaks to me directly. My parents are landlords. I think they're dealing with 7 homes, including the one they're in, and they do a lot of renting out to folks. And I have helped them rejuvenate.
Like repair after they leave?
Like repair after the havoc, after the hurricane has gone through some of their homes. And, you know, there are some gnarly people out there.
Do they rent apartments, or is it like I own this home and I'm renting it out to people?
No apartments. They're all homes. They're all single-family homes in Tennessee. And I have seen and dealt with catastrophes that...
Catastrophe.
That, It's really, and you know, you meet these people all the time. You'll see them in the store, and you just don't even know how some people live, or how they let their animals run around the house, or their kids with crayons, you know, run around the house and just marking up everything.
So you mean like residents who leave and then they don't even try to get the security deposit back? They just wreck the house, and then you get to clean.
That's the craziest part about it. A lot of them actually expect their deposit back, and you just spent, you know, 2 straight weeks, you know, repainting walls and ripping up the carpet and putting down new carpet because the cats were pissing all over the place.
Yep.
And they're like, what do you mean we can't get our deposit back? It's like, no, man, you owe us money. And then you've had the problems with people skipping town.
Yep.
You have people who know how to use the system to their advantage. They know the law.
Yeah.
You can't evict someone like during the winter. And so they'll just stop paying, like, because they know they can get away with it for the next 6 months. But anyways, all of that leads to poor dude here in Keene was discriminating against tenants based on whether they had children.
So he's facing a federal-ish lawsuit?
Oh, this is federal, yeah. This is
Alleging the owner refused to rent the dwelling to families with children.
Correct. The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development is accusing the owner of a West Keene apartment of housing discrimination, alleging the owner refused to rent the dwelling to families with children. The federal department announced that the case against Alan R. Sairi, S-A-A-R-I, Sairi, Sairi.
Whatever you say is what it is.
Wednesday, in a news release announcing charges against housing providers in on the grounds that they violated the Fair Housing Act, and I'm going to...
So what the way the Sentinel came about knowing about this is they read a news release, maybe just simply Googled Keene, New Hampshire, and it came up in a list of other landlords,
mm-hmm.
or other lawsuits. So that's interesting that that's how Keene gets their information. They just read
Well, it's the same
news releases.
Yes, well, I guess it's the same way a lot of news outlets, including ourselves, we're a form of free press, and we're all doing it. The question is that are the sources accurate? In the case of this,
well,
it's just like a police
ads.
It's just like a
and we're not an institution.
A police log where they just go through the logs and find cases that are interesting. Of course, if someone's kicking a dog, that case gets nailed, caught up immediately. If it's just some underage drinking, you probably never hear about those things. But in this case, this is something that's actually interesting. And if you read the comments on this particular article, it's really 50-50. It's back and forth. There's not a lot of people who are right in the middle like, I don't know what to think about this.
Talking about the comments on the Facebook page about this.
Yeah, well, Facebook's in general, article, I mean, this is not okay. The first time we've seen...
I mean, there's no comments on here.
But there are on their Facebook page. This is, you know, that's Facebook. It's easy to leave comments and to get your opinion out there. And of course,
so does this say any? What is actually in the article? That's what we don't have. Just that next one, that one.
So documents filed with HUD's Office of Administration Law judges indicate that the complainants in the Sairi case, an unidentified married couple who owned a home in Keene, started looking in February for an apartment in the city for themselves and their two children.
So
one of the complainants responded to an ad in the Keene Sentinel online classifieds and spoke with Sairi according to the documents. But when he learned she and her husband have children, Sairi said he wasn't interested in renting to the people with kids and had evicted a family with a child because they were loud, the documents say, and so they ended up calling HUD,
yep.
Housing Urban Development. What is it? What does it stand for?
Housing and Urban Development.
And
that's a federal. This is just what you're showing.
This is the state branch.
Yeah.
This is who they called. Probably.
Possibly.
They ended up, HUD ended up sending out an undercover. Probably just someone on the phone, just calling up and actually trying to rent one of these apartments that he has. And he made the mistake and said, "I'm sorry, I don't rent to families with kids because I don't want to deal with it."
Well, he didn't say why. He said why he evicted a different family, mm-hmm. because they were loud. So he tells this couple, the actual people who were supposedly harmed, why he doesn't want to rent to them.
Well, and this, all right, so the undercover called
and
Sairi
later,
asked her to confirm that no kids or close relations would live with them.
With her and her husband, yep.
Correct. So he did, in a roundabout way, said, "No, I don't accept kids," when he was confirming it.
Right.
So it's very sad situation, and it really begs the question, do you really own your home? I mean, you can already make the argument that the fact that we're paying property tax twice a year, an ungodly amount. And if you don't pay your property taxes, they'll start sending you letters. And, of course, your taxes, the interest, I think it's like 12%, that starts immediately. And then eventually they evict your butt. They send men with guns and they throw you out, and then they sell your house, and you know the city makes that money.
Yeah.
In this case, guy doesn't want to deal with problems, because that is money that it's his investment. He sees that it is not a good investment to rent to these people.
Mm-hmm.
And what this is telling me, that he doesn't really own his property. He is not free to make decisions based on his past experiences.
Yeah, but what else is new? I mean, if you're a landlord, then, and you have experienced, you know, horrible tenants who all have the same qualities over and over and over again, I would kind of think that you would know that you're not allowed to say, you know, a slave is supposed to know his chains, I guess.
Know the length of his chains. They know what he can get away with.
And, you know, it's like, well, if you don't know that, I mean, you should know or be able to work around the fact that you don't want to rent to these types of people, families with children. And, you know, I have my opinions about it. I would imagine that an intact nuclear family with children would have better behaved children than, you know, a single mother with her kids, or a single father with his kids, or whatever. But, you know, there's got to be another way to work around that, to just phrase it differently.
Well, they weren't able to contact this guy. We don't know who he really is. You know, he might not even be from here. And they might do things differently back home.
Well, then he should go home and do business there, I guess. But.
Well, I guess he's going to learn the hard way what the rules are and how far his chains extend, and he's going to, you know, learn from this. So here's what you do, guy. So here's the things that are illegal to discriminate against, according to right now: race and color or national origin, sex, familial status, physical disability, sexual orientation, mental disability, age, marital status, and religion. Nowhere on this list does it say that you can discriminate according to a credit check.
That does not say that on there.
No, it doesn't say anything about economic status or
not yet,
or bankruptcy, or, you know, or your whether you have a job.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where my parents learned the hard way, and they finally caught on all the mistakes that they made over the years. They finally decided, you know what? No, you go on down to the local. You go ahead, could fill out this paperwork and get a credit check, $7 or whatever. I don't know what company they're using now. I think they're actually doing the checks themselves, and they charge a deposit. It comes out of your deposit,
right?
And they look at everything. Look at your credit score. They look at your job history. They look at your criminal background, if you have one or not. Your marital, I guess they can't work at marital, but they can actually see that. They can see if you've been, you know, how many times you've been married or divorced or whatnot, and, right, and your kids. And of course they put their foot down on some other things too, which are not on that list of discriminatory actions, like no pets. That's a big one. Pets are, they can be very nasty.
Yeah.
But, As my mom told me the other day, they will take a pet owner any day over a big family of kids,
because their credit score is low.
Well, no,
and
that's
not what they want, right?
Yeah,
because they are not discriminating against people because they follow the rules.
Dudes, do credit checks on your tenants if you really care. And by the way, since they started doing that, it was like night and day. It's like the horror stories, the nightmare stories. They just, you know, they still experience, you know, issues here and there, but the big ones, you know, they went away. And
so it sounds like the credit check is more of a reliable indicator than
whether they have kids or an animal or something. Yes,
you know, sex, age, and all that.
And like you said, currently it is still legal to discriminate on something like this.
Yeah, for now.
Until, and, but I know some do-gooder legislator, some lawmaker is thinking about that. He might even pick up on this and be like, oh, wow, we don't have that law yet. We need to have that. We need to get on that.
Well, I'm sure there's a case somewhere of somebody with a really low credit score who is otherwise a good tenant,
mm-hmm.
who, you know, cannot find housing and is actually damaged. This case sounds so ridiculous. He's totally on the hook because he didn't, you know, he was dumb enough to tell somebody who could remember, you know, no, you have kids. I don't want to rent to you because you and your family have kids and they're horrible. The last time it was this problem or whatever. If that's even what happened. I mean, we just had the complainant side of it. And, you know, they're also trying to get damages. And, you know, that's hard to believe because they're saying like, oh, it took them 6 months and they still hadn't had anything. And it's like, well, did everybody else in Keene not rent to you?
Yeah, they're looking.
Then why aren't you filing why isn't every other landlord up in this lawsuit?
Yeah, they were looking. And if they were looking for quite some time.
And, well, 6 months, I mean,
who knows if they're even in a place.
You go through it, there, it, who, yeah, you're right.
Well, I mean, this could be after the fact. They could have already found a place. Like, you know what, let's get back at that guy. You know what, we know the law.
Well,
you know, the law, it protects us.
It seems to indicate that they filed it in February, mm-hmm. or so in March, because that's when they sent the housing tester.
The housing tester.
That's what it's called. A fair housing tester arranged through New Hampshire Legal Assistance. And that might be who they called
scumbag.
In the first place. But it says in here, suffered damages, loss of housing opportunity, emotional distress, inconvenience, and frustration. All of that sounds like bullcrap. If they got turned down from this one house and then they stopped looking for any other house, mm-hmm. that's on them. They should have looked for another place. If everybody else turned them down, they kept looking and everybody else turned them down for these months and months, it could be that they are just bad tenants anyways and they would have been denied regardless of him saying, oh, it's because of this. It could have been for any other reason as well. If they did find a place, then they aren't as damaged as they say they are.
I don't think they are. I think they are just these are scumbags, and they're milking the system. They know how the system works. They know what they can get away with, and they're going to try to get a few extra bucks out of this process.
I mean, hopefully
and make a man's life miserable.
You know, he's probably going to be fine.
If someone who is actually you know, providing a service.
Nobody else in the world would provide a service like that. Nobody else is going to rent homes to people.
There are lots of people providing a service.
It's really hard to feel bad for him because it's like he's a landlord. So learn your S, man. Mitigate the risk that is staring you in the face.
I think that's obvious.
I don't know about. Well, and then if you fail to do that, then that's on
you. I can still feel sorry for him.
Okay. I mean, I don't feel sorry for him, but it's like if you know the risks that you're supposed to mitigate to you, then it's on you. And like, well, okay, it's unfortunate, but, you know, bad on you.
Well, I think you're being too hard on this guy.
I'm being very nice to him, actually. If I can get anything out.
So,
which I can't.
Something that we really didn't cover in the last episodes, if you've been watching the episodes, like, why are these guys talking about the election that's been going on forever and ever?
Yeah, why is that?
Because I don't care. Because I on a local level, I follow a little more closely than say the federal level. I am not eager. I'm not the one of these eager ones, you know, voting for our new master, our next master, our king, our queen. And I think, you know, how far is DC from here? How many thousand miles actually? And yet this position holds so much power. And the people are out in the streets flipping cars right now and weeping, and you know, everyone's sad, and you know, this doesn't really affect me.
Well, not here, thankfully. Not right now. Give it a couple generations and maybe. But I don't really know so much about it being voting for a master, because I've been thinking about it, because for so many years...
Okay, the leader of the free world. The leader of the... master of the free world.
It's a euphemism, and it's kind of insulting to people. Why don't libertarians get more votes? Because you kind of call everybody, like, dumb slaves all the time and really mean it. Like, there's emotional investment in it. And...
it's... I don't... How else do you tell someone they're a sheep? That you...
I don't know.
How
do you tell somebody that they're stupid?
Well, I mean, I don't
work with what you got.
Well, yeah,
I mean, my point is that the whole, you know, when it's that office of, you know, president or whatever, it's like, well, I don't really consider it like a master. It's just somebody doing that specifically.
Yeah.
Those specific functions.
When you actually lay out what they're doing, no, they're not. But people really do look up to them like they're some types of godly heroes who are going to pull them out of the mire, pull them out of all these issues that we suffer. You know, everything's going down the drain, going down the tubes, and master savior here is going to pull us up out of it.
It's the embodiment of, you know, the government, yeah, but I think when libertarians and anarchists say, oh, you're just voting for your new master, it's like, it's kind of puzzling, because it's like, no, I think a lot of people are puzzled, because it's like, no, I'm voting for this guy to do this stuff, and he's laid out, you know, these policies. Mm-hmm. And you're going to get a lot of people who don't know anything, and any type of logical argument that libertarians present to somebody like that is a waste of everybody's time.
Yeah, and you know what? And meanwhile, these same people who know everything about their next master, they don't know the person in that office that they voted for.
They don't even
have a clue who their local state rep is. They don't know who the city councilors are. They don't know what's going on this week, because they never pick up a newspaper. But they know all these things about who the next president's going to be, and it's so important that they get a worthy character in there. To pull us up out of the mire, and yet they don't know what's going on at a local level. All I'm saying is,
stop
worrying about what's going on 1,000 miles from here, and worry about what's going on right here in our community where we live. And maybe tone it down and try to bring back the power first to the community, first to the people, and then it can spread to the community. And stop worrying about all these people who they're not really a part of our lives. They shouldn't be.
They should be minding
their own damn business over where they're at.
They sign off on the state grants that New Hampshire gets that trickle down into the Keene City Company.
Correct. And grants are a problem. It's like hostage money.
It kind of is effective, or it does affect, you know, the local level. I think especially for Keene, having more power to the city of Keene is really horrible idea.
So. Well, all right, we'll start with the state then. But no, I mean, but this reliance on grant money, and a lot of the grants that we get are for things we really don't need. And if it was our money, if you just gave us the money instead, we would never spend it on some of the things that we spend these grant projects on, like the fish farm or some of these bridges.
And also, I just conked out because I lost it, but the other point of why don't people follow local politics, you know exactly why people can't follow local politics. It is a you're not in on this inside joke system.
So is the federal level and the state level.
Actually,
every level
no,
of politics.
It's not. It's presented in this neat little narrative package that, you know, there's good guys, there's bad guys, and you can, you know, follow along and everything. Trying to get that out of city politics and trying to understand is no narrative. I'm not excusing it. I'm just trying to explain why people don't know who their local politician is, who their local state rep is. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know how bat-ass crazy those people are or how great they are or anything like that, because it's the information about them is not in a package narrative like presidential or, you know, uppity senator politics. It's just facts and figures and having to get a sense from yourself. You have to build the narrative in your own head, so it's almost inaccessible.
So it's like a game show.
Certainly No, it's lack of a game show. It's lack of a narrative.
Well, if you're trying to understand anything within your government, I'm going to tell you your local level is where you should start, because you've got smaller figures to work with. You've got less people, smaller government, less budget. You actually have numbers that you can probably wrap your mind around. When you start getting to the federal level, I mean, we're talking immense. So, yeah, you've got a pretty little package presidential candidate. You've got all these facts, and it really is a game show.
And you have the news every single day telling you, you know,
how to think,
how to whatever. You don't really have that in the local. I mean, the Sentinel is not, it's there, but that's pretty much all there is. So was there anything about the election that you liked?
Yeah.
It's a way to segue you into what you're going to talk about,
Getting back to the local level, and of course, in this case, it's the state level. Something occurred last Tuesday that hasn't happened in 20 years. Libertarian Party is back on the ballot.
For New Hampshire.
So... one of the reasons that I have not run as a libertarian and all these campaigns that I've put up with is because the requirements for state rep are that you have to go and collect 150 signatures from voters in your ward.
What if you're running for an at-large? Would it still
at-large? You could be the entire city of Keene, all five districts. Now, some people are probably thinking 150. Just go do it and stop whining and complaining about it. You're just lazy. Yeah. Go out. Just try to go and collect 25 signatures from remember, they got to be registered voters, and they have to be in your ward or in if you're running at large in your city. Just go get 25 and come back. Talk to me.
And you know, you remember when we were watching that. We're at the historic district meeting where this woman was saying the committee, the board or the committee wanted to vote yes or no on something. And one of the city council members was like, oh, I don't want to vote for this because I don't like it. And everybody had to convince her then vote no. I can't imagine that you would have.
So she's lockstep. She was going to vote with the group. It surprised her.
That's not my point. My point is she had to be convinced that you have to, you know, she had to make a decision and she could say no, but she still has to actually vote. And you, I think, would run into the problem of people who think they are endorsing you or they are voting for you. When really you just need their signature to be allowed to exist on that ballot.
I would say getting campaign signatures is probably a lot easier than, say, getting warrant signatures for a school warrant.
I guess I'm wrong.
Because, yes, that actually doesn't mean that you're voting for this warrant, but you're voting to get it discussed. In the case of a campaign signature, it's like, hey, yeah, let's just give this guy a chance to get on the ballot.
Okay.
Republicans, the R's and the D's, all they have to do, because they're already, two-party system, they're already in there. All you have to do is pay $2. And by the way, this is just state rep. When you're talking about Senate and governor, I don't know the numbers right off hand, but it's a lot more. There's a lot of time, energy, and these other parties who have a monopoly on the system. If you're talking about a rigged system, that's where it is. The fact that you have to get a certain percentage to actually be considered a party. And this year, of course, Max Abramson ran for governor as a libertarian, and he got 4.3%. And the requirement, of course, 4%. Got to get 4% of the popular vote, the total vote. And that will allow that party, whatever party he was running for, to get on the ballot.
Well,
he was running for
Libertarian.
He was running as a Libertarian, so that's there you go. It was 3%. I don't know what year that changed, but yeah, parties in control changed it from 3% to 4%. I believe they were the Republicans. But I wouldn't put it past the Democrats doing something very similar, because they don't want competition. They don't want some third parties moving in with different ideas. They want to have this two sides of the coin, black and white options. It makes it really hard for people to, you know, make good decisions on people to represent them. As a libertarian, you know, I have qualities from both sides. And that really baffles people. Well, how can you be, you know...
How can you be for this but against this? It doesn't make any sense
in their minds, because they've been bred their whole lives to believe that the only options are black and white. It's just two options, and it's really, really sad. So yes, 2018 or anything in between where someone drops out and they need to find a replacement. The option to register as a libertarian and run as a libertarian on the ballot are available to us. And whether this is actually going to help the freedom folks, I mean, who could say? I mean, my numbers have always been really bad. Mm-hmm.
You are in Keene and you're associated with a certain brand that's poison.
I think the highest I've ever gotten is like 12%.
Okay.
Numbers are generally going up, mm-hmm. and I think I've only been here 4 years. I mean, hopefully, the more people who learn about me and how I stand, you know, hopefully that number will keep going up. But looking at the map.
So, would you join the Libertarian Party then?
No.
As a part.
No, just like I wouldn't join the Republican or the Democrat Party. You don't have to join their party. You don't have to pay dues or...
Oh, so you could run as just a libertarian.
And just like in the past, I've run as a Democrat, and just like in the past, I've run as a Republican. So there's no requirement from the Libertarian Party that I have to... I'm pretty sure. I know you don't have to do it for the D's or the R's. You just proclaim yourself, this is who I'm running with. And then, of course, wait for all the flack from the actual party members, the ones who vote lockstep. Like, oh, you're trying to hijack the party. You're not a real Dem. You're not a real Republican.
Well,
go get your own party. Run. Go get your 150 signatures and run under your own flag.
I kind of can understand where they're coming from that. If they are their own boys club or their own, you know, little Democrat club or little Republican club, and they don't know you, mm-hmm. and you show up on their... you know, as their party, I can understand them being like, who are you? Get out.
Yeah. Why are you trying to rock our boat? You know, we all.
Well, when you're running as a Democrat or you're running as a Republican or when you're running as a Libertarian, you are representing that party.
Yeah. Well, but that's not the way it should be.
That's reality, though.
But you are running to represent your community. You're not running to represent your party, and the people who get pissed off are the ones who believe that is what you are doing. So when you're literally filling out the paperwork,
you're running as what? You're running as a Democrat. You're running as a Republican. You know, Max Abramson ran as a Libertarian.
It's just like wearing.
He represented the Libertarian Party.
It's like wearing a certain brand of clothing. In a way, you're a billboard for that brand, but you're not that brand. I'm not Nike. No. I'm not khaki.
Yep.
I just happen to be wearing their stupid clothing.
Nike doesn't have a political platform, and when you put on clothes, it's not understood as intensely as, you know, running as a Democrat, as a Republican, as a Libertarian.
If selling product is Nike's policy, their politics,
okay.
Selling product.
Yep.
So, yeah, they do have an agenda. And wearing,
you're never running for an office as Nike. If you clocked in at the Nike store and tried to sell Nike shoes, then you're working as Nike or something like that.
But if I'm wearing their clothing, if I'm wearing their shoes, then I am a walking billboard for them. I might not be thinking about what I'm doing. I might not realize it, but I'm a walking billboard for them, and I'm actually helping their product.
I bought
their product, and then I'm actually wearing it, and people can see me, and they might think that, hey, oh, he's a Nike guy. And I might be, and in actual truth, it's like, no, I don't really care. I bought what was cheap. I bought what looked good, or I bought what was most efficient.
I really don't think in this case that is the same context. In, you know, Max Abramson's case, he ran as a Libertarian. He represented the Libertarian Party, and people went to the polls... And they had whatever associations that they had with, you know, Max himself, and they voted on that. They also, you know, some people just saw the word libertarian and they thought, oh God, he's a horrible human being and wants to eat children or whatever.
Oh, no, he's a vote stealer. He's ruining opportunity for the two major parties to actually get.
Good for him. But the point is, he ran as a libertarian. Mm-hmm. He didn't run so much as Max Abramson, because we don't know everything about. That's not an option on the ballot, on the ballot form to fill out that you're running.
Well, yeah, you have to do extra research to actually figure out who the guy is.
Exactly.
And that is something that, back to the conversation about people who don't even know who their local state reps are, but they do know who and know everything about Hillary and Trump, but they don't know who the hell Max Abramson is, because there's state rep from Seabrook.
But again, if you're running as a Democrat, you are running as a Democrat. If you're running as a libertarian, that really is the statement that you're making. I'm representing this party.
Correct. And if I have the opportunity,
this platform, this is what I have. And yeah, you do, when you have the opportunity, you say, you know, I believe this, I believe that. I'm Conan and I believe this and that. Conan believes this. I disagree with the party platform on this and this or whatever. I agree with,
and if that's the case, and if that's the case, maybe there's something in the libertarian bullet points that I disagree with. I don't know offhand that I do. And I'm like, you know, I don't really want to run as a libertarian. I want to run as a Cimmerian. That's a Conan thing, Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah, I know.
I want to run as this guy because conquering my enemies and seeing the driven before me and hearing the lamentations of the women is my thing.
Uh huh.
So why do I have to go get 150 signatures to do that? Why can't I just do it? Why can't I just get on the ballot? Why are these stupid rules in place?
Because they need a really big printer to print all the ballots, and they don't have time to add every single misspelling of Cimmerian and Sumerian and the Max Abramson party and the Conan party and the Shauna's really mean today party.
No, it's because they don't want competition. No, it's because they don't want competition.
That's still a factor, I guarantee you.
Why
they
did the Republicans
print out ballots, and to have a massive printer to print out as many as they do, it's not just going to Curry Copy and, you know, plopping down a couple bucks. They're massive printers, and I imagine that next election, there's going to be problems if anybody runs as a libertarian to get the word Libertarian Party printed on the ballot.
If they want to save money in the elections, they need to do away with the primary. Just get rid of it. Just put them all on one election day.
Well, for local elections, there's an argument for that.
Max Abramson, I have promoted you to
Hero of the Week.
Oh my God, you really did that. So next week, Max, you're, you know, just some schmo, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, you don't go back to being a schmo, and you've got 7 days of glory. Thank you for what you did. He actually did go out and get those signatures, which were a lot more than 150. Got it up to 4.3. And now we get to run as libertarians, which is more in line with, you know, what I believe. Whether mm-hmm. that's going to help any of the freedom lovers, like I said, the freedom folk. Who knows? They might still be getting. He only got 4.3%, which is pretty dismal compared to what Sununu and
Van Ostern
got. So
it's, I think, for the Libertarian Party in New Hampshire, which is so tainted and whatever.
Not yet. No. Libertarian Party new head.
Yeah.
Friend of the show. Daryl W. Perry
okay.
He's a new chairman.
Well, hopefully he can resurrect it or whatever. I mean, my impression of the Libertarian Party in New Hampshire is that it's got a long way to go, or it's kind of in shambles and fractured by Free Staters who run as other stuff, mm-hmm. Free Staters who are very vocal and celebritarians or celebrities online, who take every opportunity to trash the party itself for, you know, good reason or bad. So for him to, I would think that somebody, Max, running as a libertarian part under the Libertarian Party in New Hampshire would not do as well. I mean, I think he would have made a good governor, and he had my vote and all that hippy dippy crap, but I'm pleasantly surprised by how he did.
Yeah,
so,
and it is. It's another option put on the table, and the more people who You know, I'm assuming a lot of the people who went into the polls probably never even heard of him. They knew that there was two choices, Ben Ostrin, Sununu.
Yeah.
And they probably didn't even know who Abramson was, and they saw his name on there, and like they see a lot of independents and third party mm-hmm. names on the list, and it's just like they don't even register it. But he also wasn't in any of the debates, if I remember correctly, the governor debates.
No, he wasn't.
All right, well, that's a big problem. This is the same thing happened with Stein and Johnson at the federal level. They were not included. They were not allowed at the big boy table. The big parents' table.
Well, some of that might have been Johnson's fault. I'm sorry.
Well, well, he was making a lot of his quips after the first two debates. But I mean, yeah, a lot of people don't even realize that there's another option
mm-hmm.
because they were born and bred into this two-party system, that there is only two options. Hopefully, this is a sign of change to come.
Well, I think it's very encouraging. Abramson's showing in his candidacy itself. I mean, I see his posts on, you know, Facebook or whatever, and he seems pretty level-headed mm-hmm. and... Well, he seems a libertarian and yet level-headed.
Yes, this is good. These are good things to have.
So, it could encourage more level-headed libertarians to, you know, go out there and just, you know, put their necks out like he did. So yep. Good on him for a week only.
Speaking of other good folk, never really knew about this guy. I saw his mugshot earlier this year, and I remember not really thinking a whole lot of it. He's back in the news. He's a New Hampshire state rep, Hookset. Man was arrested on a bench warrant
mm-hmm.
on election day at the polling place where he was out with his sign. Got arrested and he got elected that night because that's who this guy is. His name is Dick Marple. According to this article, Republican state rep Dick Mark was sitting outside the Hookset polling place with his own campaign signs Tuesday morning when a Hookset police officer recognized him. Marple had an outstanding bench warrant for his arrest because he had not shown up at an October court date, which had to do with a December 2014 driving without a valid license. And there have been multiple court missings of court and not paying fines. And so finally, this bench warrant was put out and he got arrested. $1,000 bail. And I guess he's out there fighting the good fight.
See, and this is the problem that I'm having with it. It says at the bottom of the article, he was endorsed by the Liberty Party. Well, that could be bad news mm-hmm. or good news, whatever. And has sponsored bills to abolish the fluoridation of water.
Sounds good in my book.
Yeah. And to charge elected servants with treason if they attempt to infringe on land rights granted during the Revolutionary War.
And I think this is
I have no idea what that has to do with anything.
Yeah, why do they include that?
Because I don't know anything about the land rights that are infringed on that were granted during the Revolutionary War. But that sounds pretty badass.
And it sounds like something that, you know, it's not... from all of the... the videos and documentation I've seen on Dick, he is a real big currency. It's from private banks. It's really should be illegal. It's not constitutional, and it's fraud. It's all
Federal Reserve
it's all
notes.
It's all private money based on interest. It's being rented
mm-hmm.
to us, and it needs to be done away with. It's probably the reason one of our presidents, speaking of federal level, probably got shot because he was interested in actually good, sound currency backed by gold and silver.
Okay, well, I'm on board with that. And
they didn't mention any of that, though, because that's where he really shines. I think that's in his ballpark right there.
See, I kind of don't think he really shines in that area. I've watched one of those videos. Posted on the Citizen Kane website.
I definitely
want
to. There's a 4-minute video of him talking about currency. It's really spot on, and I'll post that on the Facebook page.
And to be honest, I can follow along the logic of that stuff. You know, I know what Federal Reserve note is. My the difference between that and real currency. I know specie versus credit and all that. Theory of money and credit, pretty, you know, woo, I'm a nerd girl, great. It sounds at the surface totally nuts and bizarre, and it's not as like
which is why they included these two bullets right here.
Fluoridation
of water.
Those are great, though. It's a real thing.
Yeah, but
to the abolish
norms,
the norms. Yeah, okay.
They're like, what's wrong with fluoride? It's in our toothpaste. It's good for you.
Okay, so all the voters are stupid. Great, we've established that you believe that. You hate them all, and they're all stupid.
I didn't say that.
Okay,
I'm telling you, that normal people don't hear about these arguments. They don't hear about these articles on a regular basis.
That's not in. That has nothing to do with the money video.
Okay.
The video about him talking about money being fake and Federal Reserve notes being a fraud because that's why Kennedy was assassinated. That's not what's in here. My point is, these sound like really good things that a lot of local people can actually get behind. Abolish the fluoridation of water.
I hope so.
And yet, even though he has done stuff to get that done, like a real bill to stop fluoridating the water, well, now he's in jail because his, you know, theories about traveling versus driving precludes him from showing up to a court date where he gets a bench warrant, and everybody knows what a bench warrant is, and everybody knows that if you don't go to court, I mean, you just gave the spiel about an hour ago about how you don't own your own home, because if you don't pay your taxes, then the guns are going to come, and then the guns are going to eventually come, and you're going to go to jail. Like, you all know how the story ends. Mm-hmm. And it's the exact same situation with this, you know, right to travel and, you know, driving without a license. You know how it ends. And yet you do it anyways. You get nothing done. He's going to be, you know, I don't know what he's going to be sentenced for. But while he's in jail, his, you know, if he was going to sponsor another bill about abolishing the fluoridation of water, that's not going to go anywhere. He's not there to do that.
Yeah, but when do you draw the line?
Thanks, dude.
When do you draw the line?
On things that are important, I guess. I don't know. I mean,
maybe he feels he's not getting anywhere. Maybe none of his bills are getting passed because no one's listening, because everyone's like, well, what's wrong? Fluoride's good for you.
Well, he's given up, so good on him.
Well,
I guess.
And
I don't know.
And that brings me to the next article that I found that I wasn't aware of this one. Same Marple. Speaking of not owning your home.
Right.
Hooksett State
Which
Rep.
Which everybody's aware of.
Well, no, they're not. Hooksett State Rep. Owes more than $18,000 in back taxes. Hook said after failing to pay 2 years' worth of taxes, the fate of a state representative's home is in question. Richard Dick Marple, his home was tax deeded by the town in June. That means the town now owns property in lieu of unpaid taxes, $18,000 of them. There's poor Dick, his mugshot, not looking too spoofy. I don't know. I saw a video of him 6 years ago. He was very spry and well spoken, and he might have given up. This might be a give up moment right here, but I mean, he is really proving that, you know, a state rep for four terms.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's voting for him,
yep.
And here they are. They're about to throw the old guy out in the street. Because he's actually voting with his actions. You know, he's driving around without a license. He's trying to get bills passed for the actual good of us. Because instead of stupid like campaign laws where you can't wear buttons into the polling place.
Mm-hmm. He's not arrested for his fluoride bill. Though he's arrested for his own private actions that are, you know, he's following his conscience, or maybe he's not, whatever. And that takes him out of the game, him out of being able to affect things like the bills that he, you know, supported in the past or sponsored in the past. So I'm kind of mixed on it.
It's a valid argument. And that's why I'm thinking that maybe I think he's come to a deciding point where he's given up.
And then he shouldn't have run.
No,
he shouldn't have run for state rep again.
He did good things while he was.
If he's giving up, then he should just get out of the way and, you know,
Maybe this is his way of doing it. Maybe this is his way of doing that.
Who, you know, is like him that hasn't given up.
Well, I think it's very sad just finding out about this guy. I know I've already handed one of them out, but I've got to.
Hero of the Week.
Thank you, Dick Marple, for your service.
An old man who's given up of the week.
Thank you for your service, and maybe I'm wrong. No, maybe I'm completely wrong. Maybe he has just put his foot down, and he's still got lots to go.
Well, there was also a video of him in court earlier this year in July, and, you know, I watched it last night, and I expected, because it's titled, like, he schools the judge on the court law, and I'm like, oh, God, this is, like, one of those dudes who's like, you step 3 feet to the left in a court of law next to the gold fringe flag, then, you know, that means I sue you, or something, like, magical nonsense, mm-hmm. And he wasn't like that at all. He sounded very, like, to the point. He wasn't rambling. He was talking about stuff that I couldn't really follow because I knew what he was saying. He was like, oh, the court this and the, you know, legal oath that. But he wasn't rambling. And that was very impressive. Mm-hmm. So,
well,
that's all I got.
Good on you, Dick. If I wasn't Hookset, I'd be voting for you. For sure. But definitely sure. I looked at his LFDA.org, Live Free or Die Alliance.org is a great site for looking up our elected officials, looking at the bills they've sponsored, passed. It shows them how often they go to Concord. I'm looking at Aberson's sheet right now. You know, tells me how often he's in Concord, how often he sponsors bills. And it talks about we've had 2 years of questionnaires. I participated in both of those, mm-hmm. And these are them right here, and how they actually stand on things like minimum wage, or on education, or on gun rights, or every possible
issue that
the most important issues of the day are definitely here. But then it also goes into some of the bills that he sponsored or co-sponsored and how he voted on them. So really good site for looking up some of these clowns. And there are so many of them. 400 state reps.
Mm-hmm.
And we have an executive council. That's a whole nother level a lot of states don't even have. So it's a very good site to look these guys up. And of course, here I am telling everyone about it a week after the election.
That's what you get for being libertarian who doesn't know anything about the elections.
I miss out on
conversations.
I mentioned it went back in the day, but it was just me on it. So mm-hmm. Maybe someone picked up on it. Ballotpedia is another good site that has a lot of good information as far as like bills and concerned. So, yep. So let me look at the, I had a map here of what actually went down.
It'd be the New York Times one, right?
There we go. Yeah, I like this one. Concord or Union put one out, and it's just numbers. This NewYorkTimes.com put out a pretty spoofy results page, according to the current election. It broke it down, governor, Senate, mm-hmm. U.S. House, state reps, the whole nine. And it's a, you know, Cheshire County's pretty blue.
Yeah, it is.
Cheshire That's County is pretty blue. We have a couple of reddish communities, Ringe being one of them.
Troy, Ringe, Richmond, Swansea, Keene. Blue.
Yeah, and Swansea is really close. It's like 50-50. Ringe was actually a huge difference as far as red versus. And this is pretty much at every level. Of course, new governors, Chris Sununu, Maggie Hassan got that Senate seat.
Well, good, because Kelly Ayotte is kind of just obnoxious in the ads that she's in, where
she's
pretending to be a real Yankee girl.
And now she might be getting picked up for Trump's cabinet.
Maybe, that would maybe be an even indicator of bad things to come. She is a nervous wreck of a sellout. And what people used to call the time rhinos or whatever. Mm-hmm. So,
well, according to this,
she exists.
According
for
to these
herself.
Results, it looks like New Hampshire went red this year.
Nope. New Hampshire went blue.
On
the chart? On the national electoral chart. For president, it went blue.
Yeah, I'm talking about all results. So, red president, blue Senate, red governor, blue House. I don't even know who these two guys. I don't even know who Lawrence was. State Senate, 13-10, in favor of Republicans. State House has still got control, 201-161. So, if you like Republicans, it's going to be your year. But that just means that this is their 2 years to screw everything up or to make bad decisions and to get ousted in 2018. Because that's how it works, right? It's just back and forth.
Well, it depends on the actual local. I mean, the state actually did go Hillary.
Yeah, by 0.3%.
By 0.3%. But it still shows up on all the maps as blue. Yeah. So,
and she got all four. All four of the Electoral College votes. So that's that.
All the good it did, thankfully.
Well, I'm glad it's over this year. Are you glad?
I don't think it's over because I don't think...
I'm being silly. It's not over.
No, it's not over because, you know, I'm glad about who won for president. I think it was a good decision and all that. Is best vote, tremendous vote, and all that. But it's not the end of supposed to be aware of what's going on, you know? I mean, the worst he can do is end up just like Bush, end up just like whoever the Republican establishment wanted to run instead of him, mm-hmm. to throw it to Hillary. And, you know, at best he sticks to what he says, but, you know, there's room for the rhetoric that the libertarians will... can't help but use.
Well, we'll see how anti-establishment he is. We've got 4 years. I do like that aspect. I don't trust it, but it's supposedly it's there, and I like that. And I despise establishment folks like Hillary, mm-hmm. criminals. So, hey, we'll see. But until then, we've got to take off. We've got to go. This is an hour show. I don't want to have to edit this. Cutting, chopping off little bits and pieces to make it fit into an hour. You have been watching Citizen Kane. The website is citizenkane.org. Call that number anytime during the week. You can leave a message on it. If you want to email me, show@citizenkane.org is the email address. Or, of course, you can message me directly on the Facebook page. Give it a like. Give the Facebook page a like. I put a lot of the articles and whatnot that we discuss during the show up during the week. Of course, a lot of people are probably watching us on Cheshire TV during the week. If you want to watch us live, Sundays 8 to 9, of course, you can call in and join the conversation. Until then, we gotta go. We'll see you next week. Good night.
Catastrophe.